that Peter sought to put the brethren in remembrance of the attributes they were to supply to their faith. We looked at a couple of one of the words translated remember from 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 through 15 last week. One of those words was used in connection with Peter, who, when they heard the rooster crow, said to himself that, well, he remembered what the Lord had said to him, to his own shame and embarrassment. Jude also wrote to remember that God destroyed in the wilderness those whom he had saved out of the land of Egypt. Why? Because of their unbelief. So there are certain things we are supposed to and need to be careful to remember, lest there develop in any of us an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews 3 and verse 13. In other words, one can be saved and then lost. I know there are many who don't believe that and teach the opposite, but the Bible is very clear on this point, not only in Hebrews 3 and 4, but on practically every page of the New Testament and in several events in the Old Testament. There is hardly anything clearer than that a person can lose the salvation that he once had. Now, today we want to deal with the other word translated remember in 2 Peter 1:15, which is mnemonuo, from which we get the word mnemonic. We mentioned this briefly last week. A mnemonic is something that helps you remember something. And so even the very word helps you remember. But this morning we want to look at passages of Scripture where that word is used. What are some of the things that God wants us to remember? What does he teach in the New Testament about things that he wants us to remember? So that's what we want to look at, and we want to begin with Luke 17:32, the text that was just read for us, remember Lot's wife. We read the fuller context of that, so we're not going to repeat it all. But what we do want to notice is that Jesus is warning his followers, presumably when they see the Roman armies, not to return to their house for any reason. Why? Because they could get trapped in the city when the Romans surrounded it. Now, somebody might say, but we have all of our money there. Well, do you want to save your money or your life? But I've got my camel figurine collection. Well, okay, is that worth going back to try to save? We've got all of our important papers there. Yes, I imagine that everybody has valuable things in their houses, but remember Lot's wife. She looked back. Her possessions were there. Her house was there. Her family was there. Her heart was there. She turned into a pillar of salt. Money, possessions, deeds, and property are merely things. Their lives would be at stake. And so, just as Lot's wife lost her life, so would Christians in Jerusalem if they did not promptly flee. A lesson for us is, that when we obey the gospel, our hearts must not remain with the various forms of evil which we have participated in the past. those should be dead and buried and gone. The sins of our past have been washed away. We now live for the present and for the future and for our Lord. We live for Him, 2 Corinthians 5:15. We live for Him who died for us. And so we are living in the present and in the future with an eye on heaven, not glorying in the errors and the sins of the past that we may have committed. Let's next go to Ephesians chapter 2. That's the first one of the remembrances we're looking at this morning. The second one is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, aliens, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. So remember your spiritual past. Remember from where you came. For many people then, and all in today's world, at one time had no hope. All people without Christ have no hope. For that reason, one of our chief responsibilities is to try to lead as many people as we can to Christ. But now, in accomplishing that, we want to look at another passage of Scripture, John 15, verses 18 through 20. John 15, verses 18 through 20. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. The fact is that living evangelistically can be discouraging. Why are so many people rejecting us, we might say? It is the gospel that is being rejected. It is Jesus that is being rejected in actuality. If they rejected him, then we must expect the same treatment. However, our faith must remain strong, and we must continue to reach out. And so we should not be discouraged. Jesus warned that this would happen to us. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 2 for another one that we find in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. Beginning with verse 7, we read, but on the contrary, when they saw the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcised had been to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised, or in other words, to the Jews. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Now, the poor here are not all of the poor in the world, but the poor Jewish Christians. We have not got the resources to help all the poor in the world, but we should be taking care of the poor of our own number. Sometimes we have people come to us for help, and occasionally I will ask them, well, since we haven't seen them here, where do you go to worship? And they mention a certain denomination, and I will say, well, why aren't they helping you? Oh, well, they don't have much money. And I tell them, we would not let our members down. If you are a member of the body of Christ, we care about you. We are most concerned about you. And sometimes I tell them, you know, we have to take care of our own people. We can't take care of ours and theirs too. Why would we support some other religious group? And in fact, it's kind of strange that they would even ask somebody outside of their own congregation. But people do that. But we have a responsibility to take care of the Christians that we know that are part of the body of Christ. The next one we want to look at is Colossians chapter 4 and verse 18, where Paul solicits prayers. In fact, we talked about this in class this morning. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul is soliciting their prayers. He wants them to pray on his behalf. Now, if they wanted to pray for him to be released from prison, that would be okay. But mostly he was wanting their prayers because he wanted to be able to be strong and courageous in spreading the gospel even while he was in prison. But brethren have needs. That's why we publish a list every week of those who are in need of prayer. So this is something that is totally worthy of our remembrance. The next one we want to look at is from 1 Thessalonians 1:3 and also from chapter 2, verse 9. First, let's do 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. This was what Paul remembered about them. When he thought about these brethren, he remembered them for these good things. But then he also asked to be remembered in chapter 2 and verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preached to you the gospel of God. He wanted them to remember his example. Not only that he preached the gospel of God, but he did so without taking any money from them. This was Paul's customary way of doing things. So we need to remember the good things that brethren are doing in various locations and as well as here. Paul remembered these Christians. He asked them to remember him, and this coincides with what he wrote in the Philippian letter. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, he told them, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have for us a pattern. Remember the good things. Note those who are good examples and follow them. Also in chapter 4 and verse 8, he says what they ought to think about. Not only remembering good examples, but remembering these good concepts. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So this is, again, a remembrance that is consistent with what Paul taught in other places and in other letters. But let's move on to the next one from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, that is the day of the coming of Christ, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? The things that we have once been taught, we need to be reminded of. Some had apparently forgotten that Paul had taught concerning these matters. Let's also notice Acts chapter 20 in this regard. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, what might shepherding the church involve? For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all that are sanctified. We must not forget that since the first century, there have been false teachers. They were there even when the apostles were upon the earth. And there are just as many, if not more, that have arisen ever since that time. Paul warned brethren and then reminded them that he had warned them. The church can never let down its guard. We must watch for heresies being repeated, as well as new ones that are arising. A lot of them, though, are just simply recycled. The Brother Simons has just completed his last speech in his debate with Mac Deaver. Deaver's teaching regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not new. Simons reminded him in his very first speech that he left a religious group that taught Holy Spirit baptism years ago. And yet it seems that somebody has to come along and recycle false doctrine that's already been refuted and start all over again gaining disciples after himself, just as Paul warned in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32. We need to remember that false teaching is always in abundance. Then we want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verses 8 through 10. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Christians must realize that not only can evangelism be discouraging, it can also lead to persecution. Remember, Jesus taught that in the Beatitudes when he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And then went on to say how that this had always been the case. However, the key thing to remember is that Jesus, who received the ultimate form of persecution, being put to death, arose from the dead. That's the first thing he mentioned in verse 8. To remember, Jesus rose from the dead. And so will all of those who are put to death for following Jesus. They shall also rise from the dead and be rewarded. The next one we want to look at is Hebrews 13:7, where it says to remember those who rule over you. They only rule in the sense that they have proclaimed the word of God. They may be pastors or elders or overseers. They may be those preaching the word. But the authority is in the word, and they have the responsibility to uphold that word. As Paul said to observe his conduct, so the writer again enforces watching a good example here. And let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, and also chapter 3 and verse 3. Here's what Paul writes, or not Paul, but John writes later to the church at Ephesus. Now, we had Paul's warning earlier. This is maybe some 30 years later that this is written. And we find in verse 5 that Jesus has John record these words to Ephesus. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from your place, unless you repent. Let's also notice chapter 3 and verse 3, written to Sardis. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. This admonition was to the church as a whole. But each Christian should ask, am I as zealous as I once was? Am I doing less instead of more? Have I lost my first love? This is what Fred was talking about in his invitation Wednesday night. Are we still the same way we used to be, or have we diminished? And Jesus says, if you've diminished, you need to repent and get back to where you were. So that's the solution. repent and restore the former amount of dedication that you once had. Now, we're almost done looking at the things that the scripture says to remember, but you might be saying to yourself, you know, there was one thing I was really expecting to hear, and I haven't heard it. And that is that Christians ought to remember the Lord's death. The reason for that is that we've been discussing one word, but only a form of the word. There is a preposition used in connection with this verb that is applied to remembering the death of Jesus. And Jesus used this word in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, where he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Paul used it when discussing the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25, as he reports Jesus saying, "This do in remembrance of me." Eating the unleavened bread and drinking the fruit of the vine is the way Jesus designed his death to be remembered. That's the way it's supposed to be remembered. And so we do that each Lord's Day. We remember it not once a month, not twice a year, but we remember it every Lord's Day as the Lord designed that it should be. So these are several things that the New Testament teaches that we ought to remember. However, if you get to the point where you forget all of these, remember the next one that we're going to mention from Revelation chapter 18 and verse 5. If you forget all of these, remember this one. Revelation 18 and verse 5. Speaking of Rome, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." God remembers iniquities of nations and of individuals. That's why they need to be repented of. You do not want to go into the judgment with God remembering your iniquities. You want to enter in with them forgiven and not being held against you or remembered. So, here they are again. Our hearts must not remain with our past sins. Remember your spiritual past when you had no hope to appreciate what you now have in Christ. People rejected Jesus. Keep your faith strong. Remember to feed your faith. Remember to be concerned for other Christians and pray for brethren's problems. Remember the good that brothers are doing and sisters are doing in the kingdom. Watch for heresies. Remember they existed even in the first century, and they're going to exist now as well. Remember that we shall be resurrected just as the Lord was, even if we are put to death. Remember to observe a good example. Repent and restore the previous level of dedication that you once had. Remember the Lord's death as he commanded with the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. But again, if you forget all of those, don't forget this one. God remembers the iniquities of those who fail to repent, whether of the Roman government, the Roman Empire, or any other sinful nation, or of individuals. who have forgotten God's graciousness. Just as those in the wilderness failed to be grateful for their deliverance from Egyptian bondage and died in the wilderness, so we who have let our salvation slip will be subject to God's wrath. Don't forget this truth. Don't neglect the great salvation which has been given to us by the Lord. Remember those things. Remember them in connection with what we studied in 2 Peter 1 about the attributes we need to supply to our faith. But remember, period. If we can help you this morning spiritually, please let us know what there is that we can do for you. We can study together. We can pray. We can do whatever it needs to persuade you of the truth of the gospel. If you've never obeyed that gospel, you need to do that. And you can only do it if you know what it is. And what it is spelled forth in the New Testament. To repent of your sins, as we've already talked about, to confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to be buried with him in baptism so that his blood can wash away all your sins. If you're subject to the invitation for either one of those reasons, let us know while we stand and while we sing.